The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.
2017. Like it or not, it's the year of Trump. We're going to talk about that today on What Really Matters. We start now. And welcome to What Really Matters. This is your host, Peter McClellan, along with Jeff Hyback of Strategic Equity Management. Jeff is an active money manager with Strategic Equity Management. And Jeff, what an interesting time we've had here. Huh? I mean, you've posted some interesting information on your website, which is semtradersblog.com. The big chart of the week showing favorable and unfavorable ratings changing for Mr. Trump. And then also, basic talk about January. So here we are. We have our first week. We've closed up for the week. We're within a fraction of 20,000 on my Dow. I know you call it my Dow. Anyway, so what do you make of this? You came up with the idea of looking at it as another year for Trump from a standpoint of the year of Trump. Why are you seeing this as the year of Trump? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think if you just look at how the market has reacted since the election, they've priced in a whole lot of things that are different than what we've had this past 7 years of this recovery, whether it's, you know, new job creation here in the U.S. of actual manufacturing jobs, not service jobs. You know, I saw the President Obama's labor secretary on TV today bragging about how this is the longest streak ever for consecutive months of job creation. It's the longest, it's the most jobs ever created in an expansion, you know, on and on and on. But nobody bothers to talk about that the actual wages are about one third less than all the jobs that were lost from that time. And so now if you look at some of the jobs that were lost, they were manufacturing, they were construction, and the potential to get actually high paying jobs back in the U.S., whether it is, you know, some of these auto manufacturers being kind of forced into bringing their plants here, or whether it's some of the infrastructure plans which would bring on construction jobs and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's some definite enthusiasm there that could justify these stock prices, which means we're going to have to watch it closely, because whenever you have people get really excited about something,
right,
they're ripe for disappointment. And then when you have one emotional reaction, which is this excitement, and then you're disappointed, you have the opposite emotional reaction, and you tend to overreact when that happens. And you could see a sense of panic if it starts looking like these things aren't going to get done that everybody thought was going to happen.
Well, what if there's just enough happening to keep people encouraged? Because there is an enthusiasm out there like I haven't seen in a long time. I mean, and yet I know there's also, for those of you who I said like it or not, it's the year of Trump, there are people out there that are absolutely distraught by the idea of Trump. They view him only as the proverbial bull in a china closet that, you know, can't keep his mouth shut. It's going to get us into World War III. He's going to destroy everything, anything that the left would perceive as good created under the Obama administration. So it's a paradox. I'd say it's a combo here, but I do think what you're saying is absolutely true. I'm just seeing it in people. People are a good number of investors I'm talking to. You know, some are really concerned. Others are really, really excited about the prospect. So that enthusiasm so far seems to be spilling over to the markets. It certainly has through November and December, and now we're into January. But tell us a little bit too, Jeff. You also pointed out, not only is January the coldest month, or one of the coldest months, I don't know if it's colder than February, probably is, but it's also a month that's kind of cold for the markets. It can be. What are you saying there? Certainly not every January is a bad January for the market. What are you saying about that on your chart today?
Oh, that was actually last Friday's chart of the week, but I'm glad you're paying attention.
I'm not looking at the time you're putting it on. I'm just saying what's it saying? So what are you saying there with it? You chose that for a reason.
Yeah, Yeah, the main point was if you look at the really, really long-term average of January, people will say, oh, January is usually one of the best months for stocks. And what I did was I broke down the data to be the long-term, but also the last 16 years. In the last 16 years, January has actually been one of the worst months for stocks. Mm-hmm. And you think back a year ago, the first week in January, the S&P 500 was down 6%, and then it gained some back, and then it lost some. And, you know, so it's pretty fresh in our minds that, you know, actually the last three Januaries have been pretty steeply negative for the market. Mm-hmm. So it was just a word of warning to be careful who you listen to as far as saying, oh, because the calendar says this, here's the long-term average, sure, so that this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Just a reminder, you can find a lot of details when you start digging into it that, you know, averages can kind of skew things.
Mm. Okay. All right. So it's, you know, just a word of caution, you know, even though some investors seem to be fairly optimistic. All right. Well, back to the chart that's also for this week, obviously, was from the Real Clear Politics. You put it on your website. It's in semtradersblog.com. And it would seem as though, what if I'm understanding it, is that the unfavorable rating for Mr. Trump, that is continuing to decline and has done so since it looks like about the beginning of November. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think, you know, first of all, you know, from his acceptance speech on election night, you know, looking back, I was almost a complete 180. And you know, I made the comment, you know, that night to some of the guys we were with in the hotel that, you know, if he had done this the entire campaign, maybe he wouldn't have even won. But it was very refreshing. He kind of, you know, he sounded presidential there. And then since then, I think people have kind of realized, well, you know, I can't really fight it anymore. And maybe some of these things aren't so bad. You know, it seems to be once you've looked past of all the fear-mongering that we saw out there of how terrible he was going to be, people start saying, you know what? We do need more auto manufacturers building cars here. You know, we do need somebody to stand up to some of these countries that are manipulating their currency. Yeah. And, you know, so we've seen that trend down. But circling back to what we were talking about before you dovetail into the last week's chart of the week, I think we would need to watch this because there are, you know, probably over half the people in the America that voted against him, that and then you look at what's happening with the media and, you know, the war he's kind of starting with them. A lot of the things that he's trying to accomplish could really be squashed, and we could start to get in this big social uprising again where it's an us versus them, and that can't be good for growth. You know, that you and I tend to spend most of our time talking to business owners, you know, as they tend to be the people that have saved money and are investors and clients of ours, or people that, you know, maybe lean a little bit right. So I think it's important for us to keep an eye on the unfavorable rating for Trump, because if that starts going back up, we could see people in Congress all of a sudden, you know, I've mentioned before we went on there, Ted Cruz, who was one of Trump's staunchest opponents all the way up until about a week before the election, you know, now is even, you know, kind of jumping on the bandwagon of, hey, maybe we do need to look at getting term limits. And mm-hmm. So if his favorable rating is going up, is his unfavorable going down, that's going to happen. But if the opposite starts happening, then the Ted Cruz's and the Paul Ryan's and, you know, all the people still in Congress from the establishment will stop supporting his ideas. And then mm-hmm. we start to get into the possibility that all the good things that we've priced into the market aren't going to happen.
Well, it's too soon to say. I would like to give him a chance, you know, to see what happens. And I think it'd be unrealistic. I'd say to the people who are super optimistic, I understand the vibe. I'm somewhat optimistic that some positive things are going to happen here, but I would also remind people that things can't happen at breakneck speed. It's just government doesn't work that quickly. So I know everybody's saying, you know, a lot of people are saying they're criticizing how can he possibly come through with all the things he said he's going to do. I don't know, but I would say I think he's going to get some things done. some of us are going to like it. Some of us aren't going to like what he does. But regardless, it's not going to happen overnight. And again, it's something you touched on, whether it was a couple of weeks ago, I forget now, Jeff, but just to say to those who are kind of despondent, upset, nervous about the Trump administration, there is a system of checks and balances. You know, a lot of people on the right were freaking out when Obama got elected. You know, it's the end of our country as we know it. And you know, that was a feeling that was very, very strong among people on the right, conservative people. And we survive. The country didn't go away. And it's not going to go away under Trump either. So I think there's got to be a balance in this. But it's pretty cool to see a positive, optimistic, pro-growth administration, if that's what it winds up being. That would be great. It sure seems like that's what we're heading towards. Let's grow America, and that's phenomenal. It'd be great.
Yeah, it's really tough to argue with. You know, in fact, I think when consumer sentiment came out last week, and it was the highest we've seen going all the way back to 2000, it just barely eclipsed the beginning of 2015. And then you have to go all the way back to the last economic recovery to see that much enthusiasm from consumers. Mm. And so when those numbers came out, the president-elect, you know, used the hashtag thanks Donald, which, you know, kind of goes with the thing that has always been around Twitter for the last 8 years, you know, thanks Obama.
Well, you know, but it sounds like the thanking Donald is actually a positive. He's maybe having a bit of effect on people's psyche, on their overall sentiment, feeling of optimism. I hope good things can happen for everybody. I don't think there's, like I say, I'm kind of somewhere. I wouldn't say I'm in the middle. I'm more guardedly optimistic, but I am guardedly, and I think you probably are in that camp as well. Especially as it comes to the market and in terms of investors getting maybe ahead of themselves, because things just the wheels of government, we've never known them to move at breakneck speed. You know, so I don't expect even Trump's going to make that happen. I mean, I don't know that. I mean, what's your take on that, Jeff?
No, that's exactly right. And like I said, it's you know, unfortunately, I heard CNN last night talking about the midterm elections and the strategies for the Democrats, and thinking, my gosh, we just got done with the election and we're already planning for the next one in 2018. So we do have to be cautious. And I think, you know, as I mentioned in the blog, this won't be the last time we talk about Donald Trump. We probably can expect to talk about something he did almost every week in 2017. So it's going to be a very fluid situation. And this is where it becomes important to investors is, you know, you mentioned not getting ahead of themselves. The last 2 weeks we've said, don't let your politics influence your investment decisions.
That's right.
Keep in mind, we're going to have a lot of brand new things to digest, which is going to bring volatility to the market. And sometimes the first reaction that people have is not always the right reaction.
That's true.
You know, we might see, you know, the first reaction after the election was to panic. And then all of a sudden we saw this nice 6 week rally for the stock market. And, you know, so some of his policies might bring enthusiasm followed by a sell off or a sell off followed by enthusiasm. So it's going to be really important to have a plan and have a strategy and take a look at the big picture, which, as we always say, starts with your actual risk tolerance.
Right.
And how much can you afford to lose? How much are you willing to lose? What's your time horizon? What's the money for? There's a lot of things that have nothing to do with who's the president or who's in Congress.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think if more people would really understand that, we'd all be in better shapes. The market probably wouldn't be as volatile. But yet, I think it's very common that we're all human beings, and there's this emotion that gets involved. In a nutshell, Jeff, for somebody that maybe new listening to us, how does active management, in a nutshell, very general sense, how does active money management help to mitigate some of what we'd otherwise be, you know, falling prey to on our emotion, either on the upside or the downside? How does it help to minimize some of that, especially the downside?
Yeah, the most important way is it just looks at the data inside the market. It doesn't make speculations on what's going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. It just looks at what's been happening and looks for signs of risk. You know, you mentioned the higher valuations. That's kept our growth program a little bit underinvested, although I think it's 95% exposed right now. Mm-hmm. But it's held it back. It would actually, there's times where it could have a full exposure, even more than that. So it's tempered things. And so just looking at when in the past has the market been at risk based on the data, not our feelings. And then it just helps take some money off the table so that when that kind of panic or that shock happens, mm-hmm. you're not then reacting emotionally at possibly the wrong time.
Mm. Yeah, that's very destructive. And then I do remember all too clearly, you know, I thought 2002 was the worst that we'd ever had. And it was in my career to that point. But then 08 came along. So while I hope we don't go through another 2008, one would have to think at a minimum, someday we're going to have another correction, at least a 20, 25% or that will take people's breath away. It's going to happen someday. It has to. But, you know, again, it's so much is dependent upon when, you know, how you invest, when you start, when you start to draw income, if you're on the cusp of retiring, and a lot of boomers are, you know, when are you going to start? And then for those of you that are Jeff's age and younger, you know, people even into their 30s that, you know, I'm convinced some of them are too conservative because they've only known some scary times in their lives. They grew up watching 9/11 happen and all the things that unfolded since then. So I think there's always a need to be encouraged, to be challenged, to challenge ourselves to say what really is most fitting for myself and to know yourself. And I am convinced most of us get too wrapped up in the emotions of the moment, and we tend to hurt ourselves. We tend to buy too much equities, in my opinion, for our own good, and then we get rid of them when they're down, which is the exact opposite of what we should do. I mean, if you're going to follow any of Warren Buffett's ideas, it's basically buy when things are on sale and then sell them when they're at a good price. Are they at the absolute high? Well, no one has a crystal ball. If you're going to do that, but don't walk closer to retirement with your main nest egg at risk of suffering major decline, which pushes back, you know, and makes you have to work for more years if that's the case. Or if it's educational money, you're getting closer to needing the money. Don't take big risks at that point. It's not worth it. So, you know, again, there's a need for balance in all of this. I think there's on all sides. So we encourage people to, you know, basically understand who they are, what they're trying to accomplish, and understand that active management can play a very good role of aiming to mitigate a lot of that downside and not completely take it away, but take away the really nastier stuff. That's what they're aiming to do, and they do have a history of that. Though past performance does not guarantee future results, I know they got to say that stuff, but still, we have to aim, right? You at least want to aim. So Jeff, here at the 401k Latte Company, we have a tagline, and it all starts with what we'd say.
Invest in a conversation.
And do it soon. It's still January. Do it now.
You've been listening to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, a chartered financial consultant with the 401k Latte Company in Lakeville, Minnesota. For a no-cost consultation or second opinion of financial issues, call us at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. Or visit us online at 401klatte.com. That's 401klatte.com. We want to remind you to invest in a conversation.